I guess where Melissa left off on is how we, the connections we made to, you know, the struggles, how she mentioned, you know, it's all one struggle. And I don't know, I've been fortunate enough to grow up and be around people that have taught me that, you know, those thought processes to connect to different people and not just my own tribe or my own community. And I wanted to mention something that a mentor of mine, a professor at Haskell, he uses the term when he talks about indigenous people, and he uses it and he refers to a people, like indigenous people means to be a nation or peoples with their tribal identity and how they relate to a certain landscape or seascape that makes them unique. And that's what we are. That's what all indigenous people are, and that's what the people of Palestine are as well. You know, they're connected to the land, and that's what we saw. We saw the chaos that they live in and what it does to their mind and their health and their spirituality. We see the dislocation and you know, like me personally, I grew up in a really urban setting, and I understand that loss of yourself and identity and not understanding why you're depressed or sad or mad or angry. And also another thing I wanted to refer to is Bob Thomas. He's a Cherokee scholar, and he always mentions the taproots of peoplehood as being you have to have a language, a sacred history, a homeland, and a ceremonial cycle. And when you're displaced or relocated, you don't have those things, and your mind is lost and you're confused and you're constantly in a state of trying to heal. And that's what occupation does, and that's what it's done in the States to all of us as well. We're all removed from our homelands, and you know, we, like how Melissa said, we go to a university that began as a boarding school, and we constantly have these reminders every day. We have a cemetery on our campus. We have classes in a building that there was the jail beneath the school. We can go down there and see where shackles were into the wall and things like that. And this is where we live. You know, I live on this campus now, and my father graduated from there, but I'm still very proud to say that I can now get a degree and get that piece of paper that lets the government know that I can speak their language now. I understand the policies they've imposed on me. And that's one connection that we made with the people of Palestine. They wanted to know how we've managed to resist, you know, 500 years. And that's the only thing that we found a difference is the timeline of what's going on. Our occupation has been over 500 years, and they're fresh in it right now. They're still living with these atrocities imposed on, you know, on their lack of humanity, you know. And that's what it is, you know. We always mention, you know, like we're not experts, you know. We don't spout off statistics and numbers. We spout off what we know and what we feel and what we've learned, and that's all we can do is share like we did with the youth there, is that we understand that chaos that occupation puts on your mind. Like how I mentioned, this state of confusion you have, you know, it doesn't make sense to even the physicalities of what the wall actually does to Mother Earth. You know, it disrupts their land and their way of sustaining, you know, of living. You know, it they can't farm, they can't do these things that connects them to the earth. And you know, we heard that constantly, just over and over and over. And I don't know, it's like the way one personal connection with me is the spirituality aspect of it all. You know, it hurts them to see how the land is raped, how it's just taken over. It doesn't make sense to anybody, and it didn't make sense to us. And that was our big connection with the people there. They're so eager to share and learn, and just to create this dialogue about the inhumane actions that are going on. That's what needs to happen. That's what we saw, that what needed to happen, and we were gonna not continue to let that go on. We felt compelled to, as indigenous people and as American citizens, I guess we felt compelled to use our privilege of being able to travel. You know, how she mentioned, you know, a lot of people in our community see this as an impossibility of being able to travel. You know, I never traveled anywhere. You know, I was just, you know, here and there in the States, and I felt content with going from community to community to community within tribal nations, I felt that's where I needed to go. I didn't feel right being in these big metropolitan areas, you know. It just doesn't feel right. And so, like, I mean, the first time I left the country, I decided to go to Palestine. And I think I didn't think about it as a big thing. I just felt, you know, when we decided, like, okay, you know, I'm down to do this. And when we were there talking with the youth, they would tell us, you know, like, I want to go where your people are at. I don't want to go to, you know, people talk about seeing, you know, the Statue of Liberty or going to D.C. where the government works and things like this. They're like, no, we want to go to your nation and see how your people work and how your government's, you know, how you guys do this stuff. And that's what I felt like, you know, like, I know, like, our media is crap in the States. We don't get to know anything. You have to go out and educate yourself, and that's what we did. And, you know, we just took it to the ultimate level of, oh, I'm going to go see it myself and do this. And I don't know, it's just that connection to the earth. It was the main connection we made. You know, we didn't want to, we catch it all the time about, you know, the religious aspects of it and the political aspects. You know, it means you're this, it means you're that, or it doesn't mean you're this. And you know, that's just one thing we've had to deal with. And how she mentioned, you know, we're not even, our group isn't even a year old yet, but we're it's a whirlwind of events. We've been everywhere and speaking. And you know, our whole group was founded on that, the thoughts of the importance of Indigenous solidarity building and continuing that support system for people that can't, that don't have it. And that's what some of our things are, you know, are just based on, just understanding that connection to the land, or that disconnection to the land. That living under occupation, that removal creates just this space, not only this physical space between you and your homeland, but it's a mental thing, and it's a spiritual thing. Not being able to, you know, if your spirituality deals with that connection, you're not linked to your creation stories or your portals or your paths of those things, or your survival and your burial sites. You know, you're linked to the past. You know, that's what continues to make you strive and thrive, and it's not there. And we just felt compelled to share our stories and maybe help. We're not going to teach somebody how to resist, but we wanted to empower them to continue. And that's constantly what our trip was about. You know, they would constantly ask us if we still had hope. And I'm able to travel there, and they can't even, you know, they would ask us if we like the ocean, if we like to go to the beach, and they can't go and see it. Some of them have never seen the water. And that's something that stayed with me, was that we can do this stuff, and that we have to. We have this obligation to do that. I guess that was the thing, this understanding of occupation. And even many nations in the States still don't understand that they're living under occupation, that they're living under even this sovereignty that we do have, this nation-to-nation governmental understanding that sometimes, you know, it's overlooked and not there. They say that's how we're supposed to be run, that's how we do things, but that's an imposed government as well. That's still prevalent, and we can't get past that. Just a way to get past that is just this dialogue here. You know, like, you know, our resistance is being alive and living. You know, after 500 years, you know, we're able to sing our songs and speak, and some that are fortunate enough to speak their language. You know, a lot of us, I can't speak my language, you know, and I can see that with the people in Palestine. You know, like, they can't get past certain things in their universities without taking a test in Hebrew, and that's not their language, you know. And if it's still fresh and they can still speak it, you know, I would like to help them, you know, find out ways to get past these things and things that I, you know, it's a sad thing, you know, we can't speak our languages and, you know, those things. But just this dialogue and being able to organize and realize what can happen and what's happening, what's happened, that creates a healing process, which we all need. You know, like, we're here, you know, talking, and, you know, how I was raised is that, you know, you have to be very respectful of what you say and think about what you say, because your words are your medicine, and that's what you're offering to people, and that's what we're doing right now, is healing. You know, the trip to Palestine was a real slap in the face. It made my own history real. It was as if it was happening. I couldn't talk, you know, without wanting to cry about these things, because I don't have to talk about it all the time. at home. You know, we don't have to talk about, you know, boarding school days and, you know, sexual abuse and things like this, or, you know, forced sterilizations, which isn't that old. You know, these things happen, are still, you know, these atrocities still happen, and it just made everything more real and started this healing process for all of us. And to continue that healing along with the people in Palestine and to help them, I think just this dialogue needs to continue to happen. Just being able to share the words and everything. And I'm going to let Mari talk a little more about that, a little more about the healing that's going on, and what we plan to keep on doing to empower the people around us, you know, in the First Nations and in the States, and as well in Palestine.